So we're in a series called Greater. Greater. One of the things that I've been focusing with God's people in the last few Sundays is the fact that even though we live in a world where there's a lot of great needs, right? And I believe that many of you have great dreams. At the end of the day, our God is greater. He's greater. There is no one that will ever surpass our God. The word of the Lord says that God is sovereign. He knows it all. He sees it all. He understands it all. He knows the depth of our heart. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, David mentions this. He said, Lord, even if I were to hide underneath the sand of the ocean, you can still see me there. So nothing escapes our Lord. And in today's topic, I want to share with you about the subject matter of dreams. Now, I'm not talking about the dreams that you may occasionally have as you sleep. What I'm talking about are our goals, visions, ideas, things that you would like to see happen in your life. So today I have here a mini football field. The reason why we got yellow and green, because normally that's how a field looks like. It's not that I'm a Packers fan, because God knows I'm not a Packers fan. All right. As a matter of fact, when I saw the green and yellow up on the tower, I almost sent the guys change the color, because that's just, I am not a Packer fan. As a matter of fact, I need you guys to do me a favor. My children said, that when I pass away, they're going to give me a Packers jersey on my casket. Please make sure that doesn't happen, okay? All right. Anyway, all this to say is, look, we have a mini field, and so we're going to have a little fun with this, okay? Because what we're going to talk about is something that it's going to hit home, especially for those that love the Lord, especially for those that really want to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God and have their faith strengthened. So I'm going to share with you today about personal dreams. Then I'm going to talk to you today about kingdom dreams. Personal dreams and kingdom dreams. I'm sure that at some point in your life, you probably heard someone say, follow your dreams. Follow your dreams and you'll achieve them. And if you haven't heard that, I'm sure you heard something like this. If I can do it, so can you. People of all ages have been encouraged to dream big and to not let their dreams die. And to have a dream is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer that dreams gives people inspiration. Dreams also motivate people. But on the other hand, it's important for individuals, for all of us, to ask the following questions when it comes to our dreams. And here we go. What's the driving force of my dreams? Am I worshiping the passion of my dream's fulfillment? Or am I submitting my dream to Jesus, seeking after his dreams for my life? Our desire to dream comes from God. Your dream is given to you. You have it. You are in the field of life. You have 50 yards going this side, you have 50 yards going on that side, and you have a dream. But what if we're not dreaming the way God wants? See, our culture will say, follow your dreams, focus on you and your ideas. That's what culture says. But Jesus says, follow me and focus on me. Culture says, meet your desire for significance through your achievements. Meanwhile, the message of Jesus is find your meaning in God and on the work he has for you, regardless of how glamorous or adventurous it seems. People like more the first one because it's easier. Look, I've read the Bible, and I'm sure many of you have, but unless I've missed it, there is no record of Jesus having a football huddle with his disciples and asking them one by one what their dreams are or what will make them feel fulfilled. Not once. Instead, what we do see is that Jesus spends time teaching the disciples how to have the most fulfilling life possible through submitting their lives to him. Here's the thing. God expects for people like you and me to be more than just personal dreamers. God wants us to invest in building the kingdom of God, to be kingdom dreamers. And there is a difference between both. One has a tendency to be about me, myself, and I. Where this one has the tendency to say, Lord, I live for you. I submit to you. I believe that you created me in your image to love and to be loved by you. And I know that you have created me for a purpose. So I want to come alongside with what you have in store for my life. I want us to read Matthew 6, verse 33. And these are words from Jesus. Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does Jesus say we need to seek first? Seek whose kingdom? And his what? So Jesus says, seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Look, Jesus is making it very clear that the first value we should uphold in our lives is the investment in building the kingdom of God. So what's the kingdom of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here goes the answer. The kingdom of God is any time and any place where God's invisible rule and activity is made visible. It's the evidence of God's presence demonstrated through people like you and me. We live in a world that is very physical, but there is a spiritual realm. There is that spiritual realm in which the Bible clearly teaches that for those that follow Christ, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of the age. So all this to say is that for the people of God to defeat the rulers of the age, to defeat the evil that so surrounds us, it is important for us to understand that we are representatives of the kingdom of God. The hope of the world is found through the church. And I'll tell you why it's found through the church. Because we serve a resurrected Savior. Jesus is the hope of the world, and he is working through his church. The problem that we're having today is there's a lot of good folks that they will rather make it about their personal dreams than about their kingdom dreams. So God has given you and me a dream, the ability to dream. But where do we want to go? Between these two touchdowns, where do we want to go? Do we want to focus our dream more on this side, or do we want to make it here? I can tell you this much, that if our focus is more on this side, this will be temporary. But if we make it about this side, there is eternal blessings that are going to come with it. I want us to leave here knowing that God wants us to be submitted to his authority so that we can understand truly his will for our lives. When I first attended college back in 1993, my dream was to become a lawyer. That's what I wanted to do. But it didn't work out that way. I also dream of being a Major League Baseball player, but the talent wasn't there for me. And believe it or not, very few people know this, but I wanted to be a piano player. I wanted to learn how to play the piano. I did grow up seeing Jimmy Swagger playing behind that piano and singing. I thought, yeah, I want to be just like him. That didn't work. I didn't have the ability, the talent to be able to do that. But I could tell you something about what these dreams that were not fulfilled in my life did for me. When I began to see that these doors were not there, God used them to get me to the place that I needed to be. Because I had to admit, being a lawyer or wanting to be a lawyer, and nothing wrong in doing that, but it was for personal reasons only. I wanted to make that money. I wanted to have that downtown office in Chicago. I wanted to be the first one in my family to have a law degree. I didn't make it about the kingdom. I made it about me. Me. And so God said, no, this is not going to work for you that way. Maybe if I would have turned around and made it about the kingdom from the beginning, maybe those doors would have opened in my life. But see, I know that that's not where God wanted me to be anyway. God wanted me to be here with you today. The Bible speaks of a young man that was put in a position that was greater than himself. This young man had a father that was liked by a lot of people. The Bible speaks that this man was a great warrior. He was a great king. And his time will come where the father was in his deathbed. And the Bible says that he asked for his youngest son to come and see him. The Bible says that when Solomon walked into the chambers of his father where he was at, his father, King David, spoke blessing over his life and encouraged him and challenged him to be the next king of Israel. It is believed that Solomon was in his 20s. They don't think that he was over 30 years of age when he took on this responsibility. And the Bible says that one night, God reveals himself to Solomon and ask him the question that I'm sure many of us will like to hear from God. Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? Just imagine if one of the most wealthiest individuals on the face of this earth will knock at your door and say, hey,
Tell me what you want.
I'll give you whatever you desire.
Well, now the Almighty reveals himself to this 20-year-old Solomon. What do you need? Now, Solomon is the king. He was given a responsibility that was bigger than himself. His father even encouraged him and said, Solomon, look, I need you to do something for me. Remember, build a house for the Lord. I mean, this 20-year-old was overwhelmed. I mean, I can't be like my dad. This kingdom is too big. And as a matter of fact, let me read to you what Solomon's response to God was. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. He says, now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon had the opportunity to ask for a long life. He had the opportunity to ask for personal prosperity. He had opportunity to ask for the perfect health and wealth for his life. But he bypassed all that and he asked, God, give me the wisdom so that I can serve the people you have given me the right way. Can I tell you this morning? That's having a kingdom-minded dream. When you realize that your position here on earth is to serve the Almighty God, it is to bring glory to His name. When we come to the realization that we were created for the pleasure of God, and when God has given us a dream that is birthed in our spirit, we have to be careful of leaning this way when God wants us to lean this way. At the end of the day, it is our responsibility to choose, am I going to make this about me or am I going to make it about the kingdom of God? Dan Malave made a powerful statement. He said, look, I was working with this individual for many years. I did not realize the trust that this owner had with me. It wasn't about the talent. It wasn't about his ability. It wasn't about none of that. It was a matter of fact that Dan was able to portray that he served an Almighty God through his testimony, that he trusted God, and there was something that was revealed that that individual understood. I could trust this man. And when we make our life about the kingdom, people are going to look at us and they're going to trust us and they're going to admire us and they're going to ask from us, what are you doing that your life is so prosperous? And when I talk about prosperity, I'm not talking about you driving a BMW or having a 3-story house or having a big land. Your prosperity is not about things. Your prosperity is about the joy of the Lord that lives in you. That is being prosperous. I know that we got some food downstairs and it's going to be ready for you and all that. But let me share with you an experience that I encountered last night. I was able to sit down with a family member of mine. And she was asking me about my family situation and everything that is going on. And I was able to talk a little bit. And she said to me, you know what? I remember when I was growing up, I used to spend the night with our cousins at our uncle's house. And there was such a tremendous peace in that home. There was such tremendous joy in that home. There was something about that home that I didn't have in my home. And when she began to share her heart with me, I knew that the uncle that she was talking about was the first uncle in my family that gave his life to Jesus Christ. And his family dynamic completely changed. And the rest of my family noticed that. Why? Because again, when we make it about God and his righteousness, again, we start focusing more about kingdom dreams. About kingdom dreams. And so here is Solomon, and he says, Lord, that's all I want. I want to make it about you. I want to honor you. I want to live out the legacy that my father left behind. As a matter of fact, I want to build on it, Lord, because these are your people. And what did God do? God said, Solomon, not only am I going to grant you the wisdom that you're asking, but I am going to make you the most popular king in this entire region. Solomon's popularity was so big that Queen Sheba from Egypt had to come and see how the kingdom of Solomon really was in Israel. I mean, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, which is considered to be one of the most personal, powerful, day-to-day living that we could really examine and apply to our lives. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he also wrote the book of Songs of Solomon. I mean, the man was invested with such tremendous wisdom. Why? Because God gave him that and gave him everything he needed. He was the first one to build the most beautiful temple Israel has ever had. I say this with you this morning because when we make it about kingdom dreams, even the personal dreams that you would like to see happen in your life, if it is the will of God, he will integrate it and make it happen. He can make it happen. You could be a lawyer. You could strive to be an engineer. You could be a teacher. You could be a mechanic. These things are dreams and desires that you have. But if you wanted to make the difference in our world, if you really want to make the impact in our world, make it about the kingdom. Make it about the kingdom. Don't focus so much about how much money you're going to make or not make. Don't make that about the issue. I've done several funerals. And I heard more impacting stories from individuals that had no money than people that had money. Again, I'm not downplaying. I'm just stating something that I've noticed. Because sometimes when we make it about the money or about the personal dream, we're leaving people behind. It's about, hey, how fast can I get to the top? And you're kicking everybody out. That's the problem that a lot of men have with their children, is that the men make it about their jobs and their career, and they're kicking their wife and kids aside. And next thing you know, their kid is a teenager, and they don't even know who their dad is. Why? Because we're making it about this, but when we make it about this, then God is going to give you the wisdom, the knowledge, the strength, the courage. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you and help you if you're getting out of hand, because you always want to make it about this. And even if we kind of sneak in our way here, the Holy Spirit is going to bring us back because our heart desires to make it about the kingdom. How many could give the Lord praise this morning? Look, today, I just want you to just examine. Examine your life. Ask the questions, Lord, am what I'm doing, am I making it about the kingdom? Really? Am I? Because if you're not, God can help you to make it about that. Or if you're a mechanic, teacher, if you're a student, God has placed you and allowed you to be there. And right there where you're at, you can make it about the kingdom. You really can. Imagine how our family and our church will look like if we were more kingdom-minded like Jesus. Just imagine. Imagine if we would think more like Jesus, and if we would walk more like Jesus, and if we love more like Jesus. And imagine if we were just not being so selfish at times. The Bible says, look, it is better to give than to receive. And you're probably saying, Pastor, yeah, I get that, but I hardly don't have anything to give. The Bible says there was this poor widow who had nothing. And Jesus from a distance noticed what she gave. And in comparison to the other people, it was like nothing. And yet Jesus said she gave the most because she gave from her abundance. It's not the quantity or the quality. It's the fact of what's your intention behind it. What's the motivational factor? And for all the students that are here today, all our college students, because I know we have quite a few, look, continue to pursue that dream that God has laid in your heart. But I just want to encourage you today, make it about the kingdom. Make it about the kingdom. If you're going to be an engineer, if you're looking to be a doctor, if you're going to be a computer, whatever it is you're going to do, understand, make it about the kingdom. And if you're not going to school, but you're a stay-at-home mom and just starting your family, again, make it about the kingdom. Because this will fade away. But this will be eternal. I want to close with a Bible verse this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Look, tonight, you're going to see a couple of guys that they're going to get their body all beat up. Some of them might even have injuries. But they're putting it on the line because they want to get that Super Bowl trophy. Keeping that in mind, let me reread what I just read. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in views of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let us pray.